This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'll tell you, you know, with January here, now you're looking at, man, when am I going to go to Walt Disney World in 2015? That's the question a lot of people are asking themselves. And with MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, you can get to Walt Disney World, see everything and do everything. And, you know, I have a great partner in it because what's great about MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, again, is that personalization. Disney pays them, so you don't have to worry about them making a buck off you. They're here to help you make the perfect trip. It's really that much of a great service and something I highly recommend. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also sponsoring this episode is All Star Vacation Homes. And, you know, when you're going to Walt Disney World and you want a great place to stay, in fact, you know, you can, MEI and Mouse Travel can book it for you as well. All Star Vacation Homes is a great place because they got so many great amenities. And I'll tell you, I love my child, soon to be children, and they're great. And I love taking photos with them and spending time with them, but I need some separation, people. I mean, I just need some time alone. And what's great about All Star Vacation Home is we can get separate bedrooms. In fact, the kids can get separate bedrooms if I was going to spend the money for it. I don't. They can stay in the same room. But the principle of it is that we can all get our own room and we don't have to be all on top of each other and, you know, get a little privacy, but still being able to enjoy Walt Disney World together. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And finally, our All Star sponsor is touringplans.com. And you know, when you get down to Walt Disney World, the last thing you want to do is wait in long lines. Nobody likes it, not even Newell. But the good news is that if you want to avoid those long lines, touringplans.com has the tools and resources you need to see everything and do everything without waiting for everything. Check them out right now at touringplans.com. And you know what? Just because it's 2015 and because I'm a nice kind of guy, I'm going to offer all of our podcast listeners a special discount code just for using touringplans.com and listening to this amazing, awesome, super cool podcast. If you use discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a bundle on your touringplans.com subscription. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's January 7th, 2014, and this is episode 1442 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Mouse podcast. I'm going to show Mike.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm in Walt Disney World and ready for the 2015 Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend. I just want to give a shout out to all those who are here ready to do their first, fifth, 10th, 20th, or 30th race. So good luck to them all. But I also want to do one more thing for my podcast opening tonight. It's just one word. Booyah.
Stuart Scott.
Stuart Scott. Rest
yeah,
in peace.
Damn it.
Yeah, damn it.
Call me butter because I'm on a roll.
Cooler than the other side of the pillow, baby.
Yeah. Did you see Rich Eisen's eulogy for him?
Yeah.
We'll miss you, Stu.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Show, Mike.
Hey, boys. I'm liking this new format. I can go get a cookie while you're doing three ad reads.
That's right. For those who are unaware, we're wondering, what happened to the Monday show? And why are we doing all these ad reads in the beginning now? Well, we changed formats for 2015. We're going to do one episode a week, which will be this Wednesday episode. And, of course, that'll change things a little bit. But it'll still be the fun, same, awesome, cool, super cool, amazing podcast. So
wow.
Check it out. Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, who is the co-author of The Initial Guide to Walt Disney World. And he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. And Len, I gotta ask you, you know, your Steelers here. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we had a good year. I didn't expect us to win the Super Bowl. It's obviously sad the way it ended, but, yeah, I mean, only 7 more months to training camp, so. I woke up this morning cause, you know, I woke up this morning, I'm like, it's 7 months and 3 weeks until training camp starts. I don't know if we said this before, but I don't like any other sport. I like football. I can kind of watch hockey in person at a minor league level, but I like football. So I don't watch any other sport throughout the year. This is my, you know, 6 months of joy. Anyway.
At least you could say that. I usually say it's 10 months and 6 weeks until training camp.
Yeah, I mean, we got the four preseason games. We got training camp. We got, I mean, Steelers won the division this year. No one would have said that, you know. And so, and it's all right.
Well, on today's show, we're going to start things off by previewing, actually, the month of January in Walt Disney World. And, you know, Len, when we're talking about trying to preview what's going to be happening in Walt Disney World, there's quite, it's really up and down, right? It's like hit or miss, feast or famine, drought or drenching. I mean, there's just no in between.
Best of time is the worst of times.
Yeah.
The age of reason, the age of whatever the opposite of reason is.
The dark ages, yeah, exactly. So let's talk about... I guess we'll start with crowds. It makes perfect sense. It'll lead us into some other things that are going on in Walt Disney World. But, I mean, if you're trying to handicap crowds at Walt Disney World during the month of January, what's your kind of – how do you kind of explain it?
Well, so this upcoming weekend is the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, which we've talked about. The big hassle there is traffic and getting to the parks, not necessarily the crowds while you're in the parks. So, for example, last year on Sunday, which that was the marathon day – the crowds were something like a 2, 3, or 4, depending on what park you're at, on our scale of 1 to 10. So it's not that busy. Busier than January normally would be by a couple of points. But again, the big thing is the fact that traffic is going to be rerouted all around property Saturday and Sunday. And that's going to be that's going to be the big hassle. So if you're going to if you're driving to the parks, you know, allow an extra half hour or 45 minutes to get there.
Yeah, I would say Sunday is by far the worst of the 2 days. And simply because if you're trying to drive anywhere before noon, you're going to run into a lot of closed roads. So if you are driving off from off property or you're using a rental car from on property, actually, right, it's one of the best days to use Disney transportation because they get certain access to some back roads to open up to get the people where they need to go. Yeah. So
I actually did a blog post on Monday, and that's one of the tips I gave. Like if you have the chance, use Disney transportation. The other thing I did on the blog post, and I think this is pretty useful, I took the course map, which shows how Disney runs through all four parks. And I said that, you know, based on Scopa's advice from a previous show on when the last set of runners is going to begin the race, this is where the last set of runners should be by this time of the day. So you'll know when they're at, when they're done with each park. So for example, everybody should be out of that Magic Kingdom by 8 a.m. Based on a 16-minute mile. Everyone should be out of the Animal Kingdom by like, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that, and so on.
And otherwise, in terms of crowds, really, the only other weekend that you really have, since we're already past New Year's Eve, the only other weekend that's really worth mentioning is Martin Luther King weekend.
Yeah. And you'll see stuff. It says the
19th.
Yeah. So the weekend is Saturday is the 17th. The holiday itself is on the 19th. Yeah. You'll see a bump up there from threes and fours, which is what the most of the month is, to sixes and sevens that weekend.
But the real money is that last like 2 weeks of January, right?
Oh, it's just beautiful, isn't it?
I mean, it's not hot by any stretch of the imagination. The crowds, I mean, it's probably I think it's actually less crowded than September.
It's really close. The advantage that September has is it's going to be, you know, it should be warmer, right? Yes. But yeah, you've got some really dead parks. Mm-hmm. On those days, yeah. So it should be really nice. And it's, you know, January is one of those times where they've got their marathon, right? They've got the Martin Luther King thing, but they don't have things like there's no Mickey's Very Merry January Party or whatever to boost attendance. It really is just a couple of, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks until the first week of January when things are really slow. And it really is kind of nice. By the way, if anybody wants to see the crowd calendar, go to touringplans.com, click on crowd calendar on the homepage. You'll see what we're talking about here.
Nice. In terms of weather, of course, we kind of alluded to it. It can be cooler, certainly, than any other month. January is really the only month that you can consider winter in Florida. You can get rainy days here, although, I mean, it's generally just dry because Florida has really two seasons, the wet and the dry season. And right now you're at the apex of the dry season. So it's not uncommon to have rainy days, but generally speaking, it'll be cool and probably, I think, among the coldest you're going to find in Florida, at least relatively speaking. I mean, generally you'll have, you know, temperature highs topping out in somewhere in the 70s or so, maybe in the 80s if a warm front comes through. But it's in the afternoon, it's great. I mean, you'll be tweeting pictures back to your friends and be like, you know, suckers. And then, you know, in the mornings and in the evenings, it can get down there a little bit, relatively speaking, of course, but still enjoyable. And of course, the big event, which is coming up this weekend, is the marathon, Walt Disney World Marathon. It's 3 days, right, Scopa? In terms of actual races?
That's right, Matt. That's right, Matt. Back in my day.
I think it's 4, isn't it?
Are you through? 5K? Are you through? 5K. Geez, you guys didn't give me a chance. So the expo is on Wednesday because there is a 5K on Thursday, a 10K on Friday, a half marathon on Saturday, and a full marathon on Sunday. The dopey, the goofy, the grumpy, the kids races. It's all there. And so people will start arriving as early as – people are already there. I know people are already there. But usually Tuesday and Wednesday, they're arriving now, which means, Len, that like in earlier year, previous years, you know, the crowd would start picking up on Thursday. But now the crowd starts picking up on Wednesday for that week. Yep. So because everybody's there early. I really think that the you know, getting to the parks in the morning may not be bad. I think that the Magic Kingdom, actually getting to the Magic Kingdom first thing in the morning may be a good idea for all 4 days, because like Len said, usually people are out there. I wouldn't go as far as saying 8 o'clock, but I'd say between 9 and 9:30, they're out of the park and there's a lot of concentration. Epcot is the absolute worst park to visit on any of the 4 days, because the 5K and the 10K is in Epcot. The half and the full, they all begin and the end in Epcot. So their race is 4 days and it's going to be crowded. Mm-hmm. Just keep that in mind.
You know what? When Disney officially makes this, when they add enough races so that you have to spend a week in Walt Disney World if you want all the medals, I think the commemorative medal that you should get, you know, like they give you like the dopey if you do all the races or whatever, all four races. I think once you're there for 7 days and you do all seven races, you should get the Michael Eisner medal, and it should just be like dollar signs for eyes and stuff.
It'll look like Shrek, right?
It'd be like, you know, it'd be like a hotel sticking out of one ear. Like his hat would be in the shape of a hotel because you stayed on site for a week. His eyes would be dollar signs, and I don't know, maybe like his hands would be clutching dollar bills, sort of like the American Eagle holds arrows.
Olives and an arrow.
Yeah, olives, exactly like that.
I think that could be the medal, and when Walt Disney World finally rolls out the "We can't believe you're paying these prices, LOL, 10K."
the Eisner medal. I may actually create a commemorative bronze medal. Anyway.
Nice. I like it. Now, other than the marathon, there's really nothing else in terms of special events going on, but there are some closures and refurbishments you should be aware of.
Oh, there's a ton.
Yeah, so this is the downside. You're like, wow, why? Some guys are saying that, you know, there's great weather, no crowds. Why isn't everybody here? Well, there's a downside, and that's, of course, some of the closures, right?
Yeah.
Magic Kingdom's got a lot of them. Holy cow. Yeah, so you've got Cinderella's Royal Table is closed starting actually earlier this week, the 5th, all the way through March, so that's gone for a while. Splash Mountain is also closed for the rest of the month. Little Liberty Square Riverboat is closed from the 23rd of January to the 27th. I think that does it for Magic Kingdom. For Animal Kingdom, Kelly River Rapids is closed the 20th through the end of the month. Flame Tree Barbecue closed already and is closed for the rest of the month. Is that your woe is me?
I know. Flame Tree Barbecue,
I know a lot of people love it. I don't.
Really?
No, not my thing at all.
You're dead on the inside, man. Wow. All right. Blizzard Beach closed as well through the middle of March.
That's right. Otherwise, anything at Epcot? Did I miss anything? It looks like everything else. Things are just closed in general, but there's something like short term.
Yeah. But I mean, there are a remarkable number of closures this year. With the attractions, the other thing you want to watch is a lot of resorts are going to start to do partial closures if they haven't already to refurbish certain sections of the resort. So we know that Beach Club Villas is doing interior and exterior refurbishment throughout the year, so you'll see some activity there. Coronado Springs, I believe, Beach Club or Yacht Club as well.
Okay, so good stuff to keep in mind. By the way, we've been talking about the marathon. Mike Scopa, which race are you running in this year?
I'm just doing the this is the first time in about 6 years I'm doing just one race. I'm just doing the half.
Okay.
Nice. Good for you.
Just doing the half. That's all.
Good.
How you feel?
I'm probably probably not as well trained as I could be, but my last four training runs have averaged 13 or 14 miles. So I did a 17 mile last week. I did 10 yesterday in about 20 degree weather. So, you know, I'm ready. As you know, Len, it's not a race that you try to do a PR. It's basically a race to enjoy, you know, enjoy the surroundings. And, you know, I like to see a lot of people along the way. So I don't really try to run as fast as I could. I just try to avoid getting hurt.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. Well, let's answer some listener questions here. We got a couple minutes left.
Wow.
Yeah. And we'll get a first email from Dave from St. Charles, Illinois. I noticed the U.S. dollar has been strengthening against several currencies and wondered what sort of impact this has had on foreign travel to Disney World, specifically Brazilians. Right now, the U.S. dollar is around 30% more expensive for Brazilians than it was in May of 2013. I've got to think Disney tracks this and wondered, A, is there a noticeable drop in attendance from Brazil as a result? And B, does Disney adjust package pricing by country region to accommodate for currency fluctuations?
They definitely adjust for currency fluctuations. The things that they can't do are alter their published prices. So their rack rates, as everyone knows, are set back in August. So and things have really dropped off since August. So I know the dollar is like up like 12 or 14% versus the euro, for example. And against other, major currencies, it's about the same. The weaker currencies, it's up more.
Ruble?
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. So what they can't do is, they can't adjust their rack rates, but what you might start seeing in the Brazilian press are certain sorts of deals like, you know, buy three, get one free days, things like that. Things that you'll never see in the United States. Mm-hmm. But they might push off to the Brazilians. The other thing you might see, too, though, is if Disney can replace some of the international market with the domestic market. They may be waiting to see how much the economy strengthens in the U.S. on its own. Remember, for us, with gas prices down, it's like everyone getting a little bit of a refund or tax refund or a break on their budgets.
I'm just burning gasoline outside as we speak.
I know, right? Just for heat outside. For
yeah,
the
why not?
Why not? Fill the trunk. I mean, for me, it ended up being like, you know, $15 a month. So it's not a huge amount of money, but, I think we said this before too on earlier shows. Even if you're driving to Walt Disney World and gas goes from $100 to $150 for you, mm-hmm. you're not going to cancel your trip to Disney World because of an additional $50. So, the advantage is primarily psychological, but, we'll see.
Next, we have an email from Mary Beth. When, if ever, do you think we'll be able to add the 4th, 5th, etc. FastPass Plus reservations on our mobile devices? P.S. Love your show.
Wow. Man, Iger said last year that it was coming in the summer of last year. So it's something that they're working on, I think. I don't know. It's tough to predict Disney technology.
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of behind with the whole implementation to begin with, but I think things have definitely settled down in the last, I'd say, 4 to 6 months compared to the first couple months when it was just like, you know, it was just, you know, everything was broken here and there. And it seems like it's really settled down.
It's getting there. Yeah. It didn't scale very well. We heard lots of reports over the New Year's holiday of the website and the app simply timing out because of things. But here's the interesting thing. I think that one of the reasons why they're not bringing that 4th FastPass to the mobile app is because a lot of people who are using the app just think that you can get 3, and once you've got your 3 and you've used them, you're done for the day. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that that's a perception that some people have?
Oh, I'm sure. Some people don't even know. Most people don't even know what the heck is going on when they get to the park.
So I think that might be one of the reasons why they're not they haven't pushed the 4th FastPass functionality to the mobile app is because so few people are asking for it.
Yes.
That it's not a high priority for them.
Yeah. It's just nerds like us who are like, OMG, oh my God, let's get, you know, the new, let's get some more fast passes in here. Cause that would be super awesome because, you know, we're nerds and we follow everything that's going on. Most people, I think you're right, Len. They just like, oh, just the way it is. Next, we have an email from Chris from Durham. My family loves going to the world and having gone somewhere around 30 times in the last 34 years. Wow. My son is 6 and has taken to the trips as well, this past March being his third trip. We began a planning trip for my son's spring break of 2015, but between the crowds, his break is the third week of March, and the plague of construction and closure that seems rampant throughout property, it got me thinking it might be best to skip the next year or two, even though we missed the opening of Mine Train last trip. If we skipped a year or two heading down, what are your thoughts about replacing the world with a Disneyland trip? I've been once years ago and want to go back, even though the cost would be high for us, and we'd be staying at a discount hotel motel at best. So, laying out the options. Number one, we go with the spring break crowds at the world, me, my son, my parents. Number two, head west for a 3 to 4 single park day trip, just me and my son. Number three, hold off until 2016 and see if the world looks less like a construction zone, namely the studios.
So when he says go out to Disneyland for just one day?
No, 3 to 4 single park day trip.
Oh, well, 5 years ago I would have just poo-pooed the Disneyland thing, but I'd go for that.
I mean, you're not going to save that much money because he's got to obviously fly. There's going to be added expenses. But I think his big issue is the crowds at Disney World for this year for spring break. And that he's going the third week of March, which is definitely prime time for spring break.
Yeah, and Florida is a big destination for spring break. So
I never like the hold off idea. You know what? If you're going to wait for that, then wait for 2017. Yeah, 2080, because you know what? In 2080, they're going to have a lot of cool stuff there too. I mean, it's like, you know what? You can play that game forever.
Well, there is some truth to that. I mean, what's going to open this year, 2015?
Nothing.
I mean, the biggest thing, I think, the biggest set of developments, I think, is going to be Disney Springs.
Yep. Right. The new
Disney. And then 2016, I mean, Disney doesn't have anything. 2016 will be more Disney Springs. And you may see if they should start on the construction for Pixar Place. The back Toy Story stuff at the studios. You might see some kiddie rides at the studios, you know, sometime in 2016. But I mean, the next big project is going to be Avatar in late 2017.
Yeah.
You know, and then after that, they might start Star Wars Land. But you might not see Star Wars Land until like 2019. You might, you know.
Yeah. It's going to be wild. I, that's why I don't think this whole wait a couple of years is a thing. Like, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to line up fine. If you wait 2 years, guess what? They're going to announce more things. You're like, I should wait another 2 years.
Well, but yeah. he could conceivably wait till Avatar Land in 2017 and then do a long trip.
That's essentially 3 years from now, right? Since the beginning of 2015.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's a long time.
Well, okay, but, but maybe he does a quick trip in the middle of next year to see.
It's a long time to save too, Matt.
Yeah, really. That's yeah. True. And then, you know, then 2019, you know, they'll have Star Wars Land and Pixar Place up at, Okay. But I think you should buy the unofficial guide every year between now and then too.
Don't read the internet. Just read the book, damn it.
Just read the book. Yeah, exactly.
Next, we have an email from Willie B from Tunnel Hill, Georgia. I believe
Willie B is the guy that designs the, Harley Davidson. Isn't he like the chief stylist? That's Willie G.
That's all you, dude. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I've been listening for the last couple of years and I do not miss an episode, but this is my first time writing. First of all, I want to thank you for consistently suppressing my craving for the world. Being a 19-year-old college student, a Disney trip has not been in the budget lately. Regardless of the date of my last visit, your show frequently keeps the world on my mind in and day out. I was thinking recently about one of my favorite studios attractions, the Great Movie Ride. There's something about Disney and cinematic nostalgia that the attraction creates, but it's undoubtedly dated. Don't get me wrong, I love the ride, but I think the changes must be made. With the recent upcoming changes to the studios, this will make an update needs to be included. My question to all of you is, what would you change to the Great Movie Ride? Would you simply give the current scenes a facelift and update technology, or would you remove certain scenes and what would you put in their places? I'm sure this email was sent right before that AMC announcement, or TCM announcement, I'm sorry. Right? Turner Classic Turner, Movies,
yeah.
The...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
I know.
But
I know.
That's only going to be for the ending and the queue? Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Pre-show ending, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so just the basic of his email still holds the true. How would you update the middle part, the actual ride part?
I know one scene I'd get rid of tomorrow. The alien scene.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody current knows what Alien was. I mean, it was so... It's so outdated. I mean, everything else is classic, but Alien?
You could say the Tarzan. I mean, I had to explain to my kids what that scene was all about. Well, this guy jumping.
The mummy scene is by far the most outdated. No, I mean, I've seen Tarzan. I have never seen any of those black and white mummy movies, like the ones where like the stands with the arms out and you know, like the toilet paper around. Like, I mean, come on. They don't even remake those kinds of movies anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I mean, there's a lot you could gut. And if they're, are they limiting themselves to just the MGM and TCM movies? Or is it like in Disney movies?
In terms of what they're changing for the, I believe it's going to be TCM stuff more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, there are lots of movies that they could pick that are classics that aren't in the writing. I think, you know, like now, if you would pick pick the best films of the 90s, right? So it'd be, you know, Pulp Fiction, I think is a great movie in the 90s. What are some other ones?
Pulp Fiction's not so family friendly though.
But you could do it.
How about you? Yeah, you. I'm sorry, go ahead, Len.
You could do some stuff, right? You could find a scene.
You know, you could even do a whole bunch of Disney movies. You know, Toy Story.
I wouldn't do the Disney.
Yeah,
movies.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, how about instead of Alien, you could do Terminator. That's, you got the whole James Cameron connection.
That's 30 years old too.
Yeah, you could do Terminator. You could do Silence of the Lambs. You could do The Matrix, Forrest Gump. I mean, you do Schindler's List if you really want. Jurassic Point, can't do Jurassic Park, but that'd be funny.
Why not? Why couldn't you do Jurassic Park?
Shawshank Redemption, Titanic, Usual Suspects. I mean, there's a lot of them. So you could do, you know, top movies of the era. And you might even do like Reservoir Dogs, Toy Story actually too. All right.
Weekend at Bernie's?
It's a classic.
No, Weekend at Bernie's 2.
2. Hey, that's a good one. All right. Let's, real quick before we get to the last email, we got one more. It's from Marianne from Newport News, Virginia.
Marianne.
Can you suggest an efficient touring plan to see both Universal Parks over 2 days, including the option to bounce back and forth via Hogwarts Express and or main entrances? Like, what if they were considered one big park instead of two smaller parks, but taking 2 days to see it like we do for Magic Kingdom and Epcot? Is there a way to trick the Touring Plans app to do this? We are huge Harry Potter fans and will want to spend much time in Diagon Alley.
What show is this? Is this,
you know, right?
Universal today? What?
There's not a way to do it with the software. We don't get that many requests, but we do actually have, we've added in the last month a bunch of those kinds of touring plans. So like two parks one day, two parks 2 days, you know, stuff like that. Plans, take a look at those and then let me know if that doesn't meet your needs and we'll go from there.
Time for our last question of the day, and that means Mr. Newell gets 3 emails to choose from. One gets read today, the other 2 go back in the email queue to be answered later. Are you ready, Mike?
Sure.
Much
later.
It's not as much as it used to be. I'm just saying. Your options are Disgusted with the Pollination, which is also spelled incorrectly.
Whoa.
Elsa and Anna, then Quick Escape. I Did Not Waste a Fast Pass.
Was that that first email, was that from Janine?
No.
Let's hear that one. I'm up for a good critical email.
Last email today is from George Janine? Long of Boston, Mass. You know, these Boston people are. By the way, Mike Newell, something before we were recording something earlier. How do you pronounce P-A-R-K-A?
Parka?
Yeah.
Like you wear
Parka.
Yeah,
it's not Parka.
Now, someone called it Parker before. I'm just
saying.
Parkour. It's the parkour. Off of buildings.
Yeah. A parker is someone who parks the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The word for valet.
It's definitely not Parka.
Just put their throat out there. Anyway. My wife and I stayed at the Polynesian back in August 2014. Our room was in the Fiji building, room 3321. After watching Hotel Impossible many times, I started my own investigation of our room. Initially, the room looked great. After looking more closely, I was disgusted. I found lots of dust on top of the TV stand. I'm allergic to dust. Of the 4 covered glass cups on the stand, I found lipstick on 2 of them. The room phone was covered with dust and dirt as if it was never cleaned. The room outside balcony railing was covered with bird droppings. I looked down the length of the building and saw the whole length of the building on that rail was covered with bird droppings as well. Bathroom sink, slick with grease. Suntan lotion, maybe? Even the hotel lobby needed cleaning, like the rugs on the stairs, the floors could use a good waxing. For $400 a night, I expected way more. It just irks me on how you guys give such high praise for the Polynesian. You should look more closely before giving such high praise. Great show, by the way.
Wow.
Wow.
That's unusual.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that in December.
I did not either. He actually sent photos of the bird droppings.
Did he complain to anybody?
I would have mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, it's the first thing you do.
Yeah, he sent some photos here, which I'm looking at. And since this is a very visual element for an audio show, it means nothing to anybody else. I'm gonna be honest. I apologize. I'm not nothing personal, George. I think you're being nitpicky.
Really?
Bird droppings are everywhere. It's Florida. I mean, you could clean it, and then an hour later, it's going to be covered with something else. It's just, who cares? I don't care. The dust, I understand if you're allergic to dust, but then, like, you must go everywhere and be, like, you know, having allergic reactions. The only thing I think is inexcusable was the suntan lotion. Like, the bathroom was slick. The sink was slick with grease. I'm not sure. That is a little odd. But the rest of the stuff, I think, was kind of being a little too sensitive to the things, to be honest with you.
And the lobby was just redone, so I'm sure the carpets got pulled up. And
right, yeah, this is August 2014.
Yeah.
But I do agree, if you're upset, the best thing you can do is actually say something to Disney about it.
You have to go
yeah,
down
I mean,
to the
front
desk.
We love the emails, and I'm sure it's fun to great, you know, to post on your favorite message boards as well, but you know, if you want to get something done about it, you should definitely say something.
I've gone down to the front desk a few times over certain things, and unacceptable things I've found in my
room. Well, the towel is the chief among them,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's one of them. That's,
yeah. You know. Did we ever tell that story on the air?
Annette would know more because she was involved
Who?
With that. Oh, that's right. There used to be a blonde lady on the show.
Who?
Yeah.
That's not familiar.
Long time ago, in 2014, there was
this. Ring a bell.
Yeah. Tell me more, Grandpa.
Back in the day, there was a woman host on the show.
I don't remember any of this.
Yeah.
So real quick, you were checking, which resort was it? All-Star?
It was one of the All-Stars. It wasn't Pop. It was Music. And I checked in, and really quick, when I got in, there was a refrigerator already in there that had stuff in it, and the door was open. And there was no AC on, so it smelled from whatever was in the fridge. And as I put my things down on the bed, I looked going towards the bathroom, and in between the bed was this towel. A white towel that was colored yellow with a terrible smell coming out of it. And I left right then and there and went down to the front.
Time to go.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't move me. They wouldn't move me at first. I had to argue. I said to the manager, I said, listen, come with me and I'll show you what's there. And he actually accused me of putting it there. And I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know.
That's it.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap things up here on the podcast. And of course, we want to thank our sponsors. First of all, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Hey, you know what? You know, the truth of the story, the other part of the story that Mike didn't mention was who fought for you on that one, Mike?
The lady that I was speaking of earlier, I called.
Yeah, that girl. I don't remember her name. Yes. It doesn't ring a bell. I don't know.
She actually booked it for me. So I called my travel agent and I said, this is what's going on.
And then that Funicello on the show?
Yeah, so when you use MEI and Mouse on Travel, though, I mean, that's one of the great things about it. Unfortunately, bad things happen. It's just the nature of the beast of travel. But when you use a travel agency like MEI and Mouse on Travel, they're here to help you, not only just about, you know, oh, here's my credit card, take my money, please. It's also like, you know, something happens, you give them a call, they fight for you about these things. Something's wrong, something happens, they're in your corner. It's really a great service to have, not just about when you're booking and planning, but also when you get down there, if something goes wrong, something's not right, they're there to help you with it as well all along the way. Really, you got to check them out. MouseFanTravel.com. Also, All Star Vacation Homes is sponsoring this episode. And you know what? I love me some All Star Vacation Homes. They have so many great amenities at so many typical homes. I love having my own private pool, having a full-size kitchen that Scopa can make pizza in, having a huge TV, watching movies. It honestly is a destination in and of itself. You got to see their houses. Go to allstarvacationhomes.com and check it out for yourself. And lastly, where would I be today without touringplans.com? Oh, question I ask myself every morning. Because when I go to Walt Disney World and you know what? I want my daughter to be able to see everything that she wants to see. And when we're talking at home, she's like, oh, Daddy, can we go to, Dumbo and this and this and that? And we're going through all the attractions. and I say, yeah, of course we can do that. We can do that. Yeah. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, hey, I got touring plans. What do I care? I'll figure it out. I'll make it happen. No worries. I don't have to worry that I'm going to be going to Dumbo and being like, sorry, kid, the line's too long. No, I know when to go and when not to go. And all these great tools. And in fact, you can save a great deal of money on touringplans.com subscription with a special code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015. It will save you some monies. And that way you can spend more on your kids at Walt Disney World or Mike Newell, whatever you prefer. Check them out right now at touringplans.com. For Lentesta, Mike Sopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hochberg. You on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.